welcome to this week's edition of Daily Coast, The Brief, for our weekly show about politics. I'm Marco Smolicis. I'm here with Carrie Alleveld, and we are going to be talking about Donald Trump, of course. We're going to be talking about his purge of moderates from his party. We're going to be talking about choice and IVF and all these issues, how they're going to be playing in the 2024 elections going into November. And Carrie, we have a great guest to talk to today about these really fascinating issues.
Yes, super excited.
Should we bring her in?
Yeah, bring her in. Let's do it.
All right. Our guest today is Christina Reynolds. She is the communications director for Emily's List. Emily's List is the nation's premier organization helping pro-choice women get elected into office. They're the best. Like, I absolutely adore you guys. I adore Christina, and I adore everything Emily's List does. And my God, can you be more relevant today? Is that possible?
I mean, give the Republicans a chance. They'll do some more bad stuff and make us even more relevant. You can't underestimate how low the bar will get set. But yeah, very relevant today. And I think we'll continue to be relevant through the election.
And Christina, I just want to make sure did you get boosted from director of communications? You're like senior VP now or something.
Yes. My title, mostly I talk about the ladies running for office and I talk about, issues like abortion rights. So you can call me whatever you want, as long as you ask me to talk about those issues.
Okay. Sounds good. It's Super Tuesday. That's happening. You voted. You got your I voted sticker. I voted.
Yes.
Marcos has promised to vote. Anyway, by time
my ballot is on the sofa. I just need to drop it off. I feel a little embarrassed, but okay.
It's coming. I mean, we live in California, so, there is some intrigue, but not quite as much, maybe.
Oh, but I always vote. Intrigue's not
among Democrats. There's a little bit of intrigue. Yeah, I always vote too. All right. Yeah. By the time people hear this, it will be Wednesday or even later in the week, and we will know the results, right? But what we do know going in to today is that Donald Trump is in the middle of a pretty significant purge of moderates from the Republican Party. Now, let's forget about the Ronald Reagan Big Tent Party, right? The party that supposedly, it was there for conservatives, it was there for the so-called Reagan Democrats who wanted to cross over and vote for Ronald Reagan. Republicans clung to that big tent framing for decades, even as it got hollowed out, right? Even as it became much more the party of just white heterosexual Christians to the exclusion of basically all others. It went that way for decades, but at least rhetorically, people still talked about the big tent Republican Party. The idea that we're putting out the welcome mat,
America's a center right nation. Remember that?
America's a center right nation. That's right. And if you can get on board with all our bigotry and anti-women, anti-LGBTQ, anti-immigrant policies, we'll take you. But not anymore. So now what Donald Trump is doing is saying, if you respect Mitt Romney, if you respect Liz Cheney, if you are a Haley voter, we don't want you. And I just want to play one clip. And then I want you to put your strategist hat on and talk about what that says to you as you shape, your strategy for the upcoming election.
And they say, always trying to demean, well, MAGA really represents 48% of the Republican Party. No, it represents 96% and maybe 100%. We're getting rid of the Romneys of the world. We want to get Romneys and those out.
They're getting Romney and those out.
Right. Right. I don't want to know how he defines those, but yeah, I mean, look, I think they've moved from an allegedly big tent party to a party with a velvet rope, right? A party where you have to meet certain criteria and you have to, agree with certain things. And fully support our dear leader, right? I think that's the most important thing to him, is fealty to Donald Trump. And what that means is that he's shutting out people who could be very open to him And so what that means for Democrats and for lots of candidates out there is the opportunity to reach out to those voters and try and bring them along, try and remind them that there's a space for them where, you know, I always tell people this, you're never going to find a candidate or a politician or anything like that that you agree with 100% of the time. You are never going to find a human that you agree with 100% of the time. And so you think about your values and you think about what you're taking into office and what they believe in and who they're going to fight for. And Donald Trump is going to fight for Donald Trump. That we have seen that time and again. And that includes in his own party. I mean, this is a man who in 2022 went around and told people that voting by mail, that you shouldn't do it, right? That it was sketchy and you shouldn't do it. And I'm certain that cost his party some votes. I don't know how many, but you know, you had Republican leadership saying, please don't do that, right? We need people to be able to vote that way. This is a man who only cares about himself. He only cares about people exactly like him. And he's telling people, you're not welcome if those aren't your values too. And so it's incumbent on us to find places where those people agree with us and show them that they have another option, right? That they have a viable option. And I believe, and this will, spoiler alert, this will shock no one, I believe one of those places is abortion, right? I believe that, and reproductive freedom in general, because as you noted, they're not just stopping at abortion. We always knew it, and they're proving it again. And this is a place where we know the majority of the country is with us, and we have the opportunity to go out and tell people, okay, he's not with you, we are. Why don't you come over here and see what we can do there?
All right, so let's unpack that. Yeah, so
yeah, go ahead, Carrie. I was going to kick it to you because you're going to go where I wanted you to go.
Okay, well, I have sort of two follow-up questions on that. And one is, before you answer it, let me just ask it, and then I'll pack both questions in. One is, do you have like a target number of Republican voters or center-right voters that you think this percentage of people, 15%, 20%, mm-hmm. I don't know, of Republican voters or center-right voters, you know, people maybe who are independent, who usually vote Republican. Do you have a percentage? Yeah. Percentage of those people who are, you know, who you think are open to this pitch?
Sure.
Let's go with that first.
Yeah, I don't have an exact number. And I think some of what's the number that will make the election, we'll get that as we get closer to the election. We figure out what we think turnout's going to be like, and people who are far better at math than me will, you know, do some of those, do that number crunching and look at polls that are a snapshot in time closer to the election and see. Here's what I know. I know that a majority of independents and even a majority of some, you know, of Republicans, but an overwhelming majority of independents support the right to choose what they believe fundamentally. And this is not saying that they all are pro-abortion. It is saying that they all are pro you getting to decide for yourself. And when we explain to them that's where we are, then they are open to that idea, to the fact that we want them to be able to make that decision. And so, you know, I think the exact numbers we'll see, but I think that swing voters and those independent voters, particularly young women, you know, we hear now that young people are less interested in partisanship and more interested in issues. This is one of those issues that turns them out. It did. For example, in Michigan in 2022, young voters came out at a higher rate, and they came out, and abortion was a big driver of that, right? So we're going to be looking at that around the country, especially in those battleground states. But honestly, they're all battleground states when you think about the House, when you think about, you know, this, where some of those Senate races are. And so we'll take a look at that. But they will certainly be an important part of the conversation.
Okay. I just want to build a little bit on that. So Civics, our polling firm, it's an online panel, and there's a significant number of people on that panel in the tens of thousands that support abortion rights and support Donald Trump. And that seemed a little crazy, but Carrie, I think either you wrote about it, you've been talking about a mm-hmm. poll that just showed that a significant number of Trump supporters don't realize or don't internalize that he's so anti-choice. Yep. And he literally gave us the Supreme Court that eliminated Roe. So what's going on? What do you see on your end? What's that about?
I think it's about a few different things. One, voters have a lot coming at them. And a lot of voters are not fully plugged into this election right now. They are dealing with their life. They are dealing with all the things happening in the world. And so they're not drilling down on who got us here. They're drilling down on what rights they don't have, right? And they're thinking about that more than necessarily how we got here. What that means is that it is let me add another reason why. Donald Trump has read polls, right? So have many of the Republicans. And so they are trying to mislead and lie to the public about where they stand. They're not willing to totally walk away from their positions. Although I will note, you saw after the Alabama IVF decision, all of those Republicans, the NRSC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee, famously put out a memo, famously to me, I don't know if it's famous, but they put out a memo.
We heard about it, good enough.
I found it infamous. So they put out a memo and said, go say you're for IVF, right? Yay. And everybody went out and did that. And then people pointed out, how many of you chuckleheads are on legislation that literally would ban, would ban IVF? Lots of them. How many of you all, Tammy Duckworth, and this is one of the many reasons why we believe you should elect more women and elect people with different lived experiences, right? Tammy Duckworth has two children, both of whom she got via IVF. And she had a bill to protect IVF after Dobbs. Guess how many Republicans are signed on? Zero, right? And she tried to bring it up.
Wasn't there one? And then she
You're right. There was, yes, in the House. Not even in the Senate, in the House. And she pulled herself off since then. My guess is Donald Trump's, you must be MAGA or else, didn't help that. So they can't even, and she tried to offer it up again. And they objected. They can't even.
They blocked it. It's not even an objection. They blocked it.
You're right. They blocked it. I'm being too kind, which is not usually what I do with Republicans, but too generous there. But so what we know is that they are lying to voters, right? You have Donald Trump saying, well, we'll come up with a compromise everyone's happy with, which is not possible. We'll be okay. It'll be fine. No big deal. And I would argue some of the media is giving him a pass. You get different, headlines. Nikki Haley, who is, she may be a little more moderate. She may be unacceptable in Trump's Republican Party, but Nikki Haley is as anti-choice as they come. She does not oppose a federal abortion ban. She just thinks it can't pass, right? She has acknowledged mm-hmm. she would sign it if it passed. She did anti-choice things as governor. And, you have these, and yet you will see headlines of Nikki Haley offers more moderate views on abortion, right? Yeah. Donald Trump tries to moderate his positions. So that's two of the reasons, right? That's why voters are seeing things that confuse them. They're focused on the rights themselves and not how they got here. And so what that means is two things. One, those of us like Emily's list and candidates are going to have to advertise on this, right? We're going to have to do voter contact in the many ways we do that, in field and TV ads and digital ads and whatever, and actually make sure that we break through to voters so that they understand where Donald Trump is. He said during a town hall during the primary that he was very proud to have overturned Roe v. Wade. And I think we're all going to get tired of seeing that on our TV screens come the fall.
Emily's list has a record of communicating this.
Communicating
2023 did not happen in a vacuum and by accidents, because organizations like Emily's List really hammering the abortion.
Yeah. And by the way, the thing is, now that people actually understand, it's not just us, everybody gets that it works. And so I think you're going to see that all over the place. And the other thing is that it's on all of us to make sure that we are communicating to our networks on it, right? Like what breaks through is that relational communication. And so making sure that we're telling the truth, that we're calling it out when we see those headlines that are not right, right? That give them too much credit, and make sure that people understand, as an issue we feel powerful, feel very personally about, who got us here. And so we can all help in that education. It's going to take work, but we can do it. Like we're on the side of truth here, and he a little can't help himself for taking credit for stuff. Right. So, he'll give us other opportunities.
Yeah. So what, and one of the things that Marcos was kind of alluding to when he asked that question is, you know, there's a lot. So I listen to a lot of focus groups. I mean, read plenty of polls, but also listen to focus groups, mm-hmm. which give you a little bit more nuanced understanding of where people are coming from. And there's this kind of like, there's this kind of sort of basic personal belief that a lot of people have about Donald Trump, you know, that, you know, he's not evangelical. Like he's not your, you know, prototypical, like Mike Pence evangelical. They kind of personally think that he's probably paid for abortions in the past. He's had several wives. He's had affairs. He's, you know, bought people off, like not to tell their story in order to get elected, otherwise known as election interference. But like, they're like, yeah, this guy isn't, you know, he's not like a dyed-in-the-wool evangelical, you know, pro-lifer. And so in that sense, this is where you get some of these, you know, Republicans and Republican women in particular being like, yeah, I just don't buy it. He's not going to be the person that, you know, and like they've completely glossed over the fact that he has, you know, that he packed the court with three extremists.
Right.
That, and as soon as they had the chance, I mean, as soon as they had the chance, they took gladly and giddily, they took the case that they could use to strike down 50 years of precedent on rights, you know, the constitutional right to an abortion, right? Women getting to make their own decisions in conjunction with their partners and their doctors about the best choices, right? But, you know, this, I have to say one more thing. This idea of him as a deal maker, he's like, oh, well, we'll sit down and we'll find a compromise that is good for everybody. Okay. The women of America, I think, are not going to be letting a guy who was found liable of sexual assault by a jury be bargaining away their rights at a table with a bunch of evangelicals on the other side. Okay. Yeah. That's not where I'm, he's not negotiating that for me or any of my loved ones, but that's just, it's just so bogus. I can't stand it.
And I think it absolutely is because he didn't just get us here. He told us he was going to get us here. Mm-hmm. And what I want people to remember, I was poking around looking for a certain news story. And I came across one from 2016. In a town hall, Trump not only said, I will appoint judges who will overturn Roe, he was asked, so should we punish the women who have abortions and the doctors, you know, do they get jail time, do they whatever? And he said, yes. Now, he pulled that back relatively quickly, but in pulling it back, said, I still think we should have an abortion ban. This is a guy who's been for a federal abortion ban. He is still for a federal abortion ban. And he just thinks, I just need to find the right compromise. And Glenn Youngkin can tell him how successful that is. Because the problem is, this is not an issue where you can meet in the middle. Either you get to decide or I get to decide. And you, in this case, is not Kerry and Marcos, it is a bunch of old right-wing judges, right? It is government. It is Ted Cruz. I've used this analogy before. It's Ted Cruz in your doctor's office, right? And voters get that. And the unfortunate, you know, the terrible tragedy and why we should be grateful that these women are standing up and telling their stories. But looking at Kate Cox, looking at Brittany Watts, looking at, there are going to be more of those. And the ones who come out and tell their stories just remind people, this is not a question of, oh, if we just find the right number of weeks, we'll be okay. And so he can keep hemming and hawing on that. We're going to keep reminding people he wants to take that right away from you. He wants to decide.
I mean, it's incredibly difficult for them to compromise on an issue where they claim it's murder, right? Be like,
correct.
It's like us saying, like, you know what, we'll compromise on murder, like real people murder, by saying that it's okay till somebody's 16. After 16, you can't murder them, but you can murder 14-year-olds.
Right.
No, you can't, right? If you truly believe it's murder, and that's what you've internalized, and that's what you've messaged for 50 years, and that's sort of part of your ideological core, how do you compromise that? It's impossible. So the very notion, and you see it with a lot of these evangelicals, they get angry when Republicans talk about compromising, finding a compromise, because it is literally deeply offensive to them. That's why it's never going to happen. There's never going to be real Republican serious effort to find a, quote, middle ground solution, because they can't. They box themselves in the corner and they're trapped in there.
How much are you prosecuting this campaign also? Not just the idea that, you know, when you get into a really unfortunate situation in a wanted pregnancy or perhaps an unwanted pregnancy, there's the issue of, can you get the medical care that you deserve and seek, right? But now Republicans, even though they're trying to say, oh, we're not going to go after IVF, right? You know, because, but they're all signed on to personhood, you know, amendments, right? They're coming. They're coming for contraception. Yes. They're coming for frozen embryos. Yes. They're coming, you know, they're coming for all of those things. How much is
sex
the
for
IVF?
Joy. They're going after sex in general. I mean, this is out of control.
How much have they opened themselves up to, you know, and I haven't thought about this enough, but you probably have. It seems like it's an even better hook in a way that, hey, if you want to have babies, Republicans are going to dictate to you on what terms you can have them now and can't. That type of thing, because this affects a group of very, like, you know, all of the voters that Republicans used to have, these upper income, white upper income, suburban type voters who are later and later in life now having babies and therefore resorting to different types of fertility assistance in order to make that happen. And some of them are less invasive, but some of them are a little bit more invasive, like, you know, IVF, in vitro fertilization. Is this like a whole new front in your view, as you think about how you're going to be doing advertising and messaging, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I think yes, but it fits in the same message, right? Which is all the better, because when we say the question is who gets to decide, we don't just mean who gets to decide if you can have an abortion or not. We mean who gets to decide if you add to your family, when you start a family, what your if you decide you're not going to have a family. It's all of that. And that's something that people take very seriously. So yes, that's absolutely a part of it. And, you know, I keep in my head the list of all the people who said we were hyperbolic when, you know, when Roe was at risk, right? And said that this could mean, right? Yeah, that this could mean X, Y, and Z. And, oh no, that couldn't happen, you know, And we're here. And the reality is, between intended and unintended consequences of these, you are seeing so many ramifications, right? I think we all know, you know, and we're in a world where we talk more about things like pregnancy loss, right? That I think, you know, when I was younger, people didn't talk about. Mm. I have, and I suspect most of us who've been through sort of that childbearing age have friends who have had to have a D&C because of a pregnancy loss, right? That's something, and when you limit the drugs, you know, when you make hospitals afraid that they will be punished or that doctors will, you know, be arrested or all of those things, when you do things like, there's an Arkansas bill, there's one that got a lot of press on tracking women who'd had abortions, but there was also one that would punish the people who transport the drugs. So like the truck drivers, you know, things like that. When you do that, it happens like what happens in Alabama, right? Where you had people in the middle of IVF, the IVF process, and it got shut off. And so these stories just remind people they want control. And that control means control of your ability to start a family, your ability to, you know, control when and if and what and, you know, all of those things. That's what they want control of. And that's incredibly unpopular.
Christina, how to this very question, this very message, how much work do we need to do for people to make that connection between Dobbs and the ability to have life-saving medical care in a troubled pregnancy, the ability to start your own family? How do people really realize those are connected, or do we have this major task in front of us to educate the electorate?
I think we still have to educate the electorate more. And I think that's when we start to see. But here's what we know. We know if we tell people, your congressperson opposes, you know, supported the Dobbs decision, right? Or opposes Roe v. Wade, or opposes your ability to decide, it's an immediate turnoff, right? We know that when we educate people, it is an effective driver of vote. It is an effective turner of vote, right? Shifter of vote, I guess. And so we need to do that education and make sure they understand. It's especially important because they're going to outright lie about it, right? They're going to do that. From now until, I mean, we saw in Virginia, there was, I forget which Republican, but one of them tried to argue, I'm pro-choice, I support a 15-week ban. And we were like, no, no, my friend, you do not understand. Those two things do not go together. Just like Glenn Youngkin tried to say, I don't support a ban, I support 15-week restriction, right?
Well, right.
They were so proud of themselves. Do you remember?
They were so proud of themselves.
They were saying, like, this is the answer. We found the way to
make it. He sunk a bunch of money.
That's right.
He sunk millions of dollars into, you know, trying to spread that, trying to rebrand ban as a restriction.
Yeah. Didn't work. Because
no, they're not doing that anymore. I just realized that. Yeah.
We should never, like, we do voters, we do ourselves a disservice when we underestimate voters, right? But what we have to connect, they understand the issue, they understand what it means. We have to connect it to who is responsible, who will protect your rights, and who will take it further. Because they will absolutely keep going on this path if we let them have control.
Do you envision, like, I don't know how specific you get in your targeting, right? It sounds like you're very committed to, this is sort of under the rubric of freedom, right? Mm-hmm. And it falls into it all, whether you're talking about abortion or you're talking about IVF, it's all mm-hmm. under the same umbrella, right?
Yes.
But do you have a specific, do you, I just think about the two groups that we definitely need to motivate, right? Mm-hmm. In very broad terms. Mm-hmm. We need to motivate Democrats to get to the polls,
yes.
Some of whom are showing a lack of enthusiasm for voting for Joe Biden, right?
Yep.
We also, at the same time, need to get some meaningful slice, and that could be like 1-2% of Republican voters, right? Some meaningful slice of Republican voters to not just, you know, so hopefully some of them will stay home and just say, no way, I'm not voting for this guy. But hopefully some of them will be like, that's not good enough. I have to get to the polls and actually vote for Joe Biden, even though I disagree with him on a number of things, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have any sense of what portion you're devoting your energies to from a pro-choice standpoint? Yeah.
Not yet, but what I can tell you is it's definitely a both and. Right. And the good news is this issue works for both and, right? It is incredibly compelling to young people. We know that. We've seen it in elections, especially young women, and women turn out more, and women, you know, there is a gender gap, right, for our party. And so
at this point, it's a chasm. But
I don't mean to,
you and I have voted.
Marcos has got his thing on the back.
His ballot's like, still on the couch.
Drop it. Drop it at the end of the day. I'll get to it.
Tough talk, Marcos.
Let my mistake be your wisdom.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So what we know is that young voters are really motivated by this, and that it is a compelling issue. But we also know that there's a lot of people who are in independent spaces and in Republican spaces. And so it's going to be a both and. This is going to be a nail biter, right? If anyone thinks we're going to get to take October off, and, you know, we're not. We're going to have to keep fighting this. I think that the reality is right now, I think America's been through it, right? Like, it's been tough. COVID was hard. We're going back, you know, we are dealing with two wars going on. There's a lot happening in the world. And to look up and see the same two people running as when we were trapped in our houses, right? When we were Zoom, you know, like trying to get our kids in front of Zoom classes and also do our jobs and not have toilet paper and all those things. I think that's kind of a tough break for folks, right? And I think that bears out, you hold that a little more against the incumbent. I think that when it comes down to it, this is a choice between two people. And, you know, one of them actually has a record, a great record to run on, but he's not getting credit for it right now. But one of them stands on the side of freedom, and one of them doesn't. And, you know, we're going to keep hammering that issue. We have, you know, we've seen the vice president be an incredibly effective messenger on this, and she is effective with young people, right? With women, with voters of color, who we need to come out. And I think we'll continue to see her do things like the tour, you know, she's done a couple of tours already. She was in North Carolina just last week, was glad to see her come back here. And, you know, we're going to see both of them all over the place. But I think, you know, this is an issue where she has a particularly great impact, and you don't always get that from your VP, you know? And so I think that that's going to be really important as we head to November.
Carrie and I have actually talked quite a bit about how fortuitous or crazy it is that Republicans have surrendered the freedom narrative, literally yep. gave it to us on a platter. They said, here, we give up on this thing. We want big yep. government now. And how that message is universal. Like, we don't have to do the old, like, micro-targeting different demographics. It is, it's a very universal message. And I think that puts us at an advantage heading into the cycle. So we're almost out of time. Christina, can you tell us what Emily's List has on tap? You know, we've talked about some of the messaging stuff that you're talking about. What exactly is your organization going to be doing through the election?
Sure. I mean, we're going to do a lot of what we, you know, what we are constantly doing, which is working with candidates, trying to, you know, make sure that they're ready to run and to win. And so we are, you know, doing that across the country. We are very, very focused on the vice president, obviously. She is, I think, an incredible part of the ticket, and she faces disinformation and misinformation. We know the Republicans are going to go after her. And so we want to make sure that we've got her back there. We are very focused on protecting the Senate. That's tough. You know, we know that Manchin, that's a likely loss, West Virginia. We're focused on Maryland. We're with Angela Alsobrooks and really think that she's the right candidate to hold that seat. We're also, we need to flip somebody. We're with Debbie Mucosell Powell in Florida. If you're not tracking that race, you should be. We just put out a poll today that showed her in, I think, a tighter race than people anticipate with Rick Scott. A fun fact about Rick Scott is he has never won a race with more than 50. Like, I think 51 is his ceiling.
And he's, you know, villainous.
He is villainous, right? And there's Luther. A real record to run against. This is the first time we have a Latina running statewide, I'm pretty sure, in Florida. And, you know, she's an immigrant. She has an amazing story. And so, you know, keep an eye on Debbie. I think Florida's going to surprise some people.
And she literally represented South Florida,
she sure did.
You know, the area that has been, I interviewed her comms director and walked away thinking, shit, they might do this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good comms director, right? You know, it's
right.
like,
yes.
get a reporter here and convince them that your candidate has a chance, right? And I just fell right into the trap. But for reals, like, if anyone is going to be able to flip, you know, Florida, it's a Latina from the very area of the state that has just given Democrats, you know, fits and starts over the years.
For sure. Yep.
Yeah.
So yes. Taylor Swift,
Say her comms director came from Emily's List. We're a big fan of hers.
So Taylor Swift is going to be doing her concert tour through Florida a couple of weeks before the election. So hopefully maybe they can make it happen.
If I had a direct line to Taylor Swift, believe me, we would. She'd also be in North Carolina. But I think we're looking at flipping the House. Flipping the House is obviously a huge priority. It is eminently doable. We've lost some tough fights. Like in North Carolina, we're going to lose some seats because of gerrymandering. But we have some great opportunities. We're looking at, for example, in Texas, pay attention to Michelle Vallejo. In New York, Laura Gillen. We've got, and then there's some seats around the country that we're keeping an eye on and excited to get in with. And then state legislatures, you all know this and you cover it all the time, and we're really grateful. Your state legislature has such an impact on your life, and too many people don't know who represents them. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to what they're doing, because they determine the laws that govern you and what rights you have. And so we are very focused on a few states that flipped last cycle and we want to protect, like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota. And there are a few more states that we think we can flip, and a few power building states where we're hoping to like break a supermajority or, you know, move us in the right direction. North Carolina is one of those. So, you know, we're all over the place and really hoping, you know, we want to continue to lift up this message. We know it's a winning message for Democrats. And we know that the best way to protect our rights is to elect women like the ones we support and get them in there and they'll do the work.
Can I ask one more question?
So yeah, I was going to say, Carrie, we're almost out of time. So this is the last question. So
last question. Just so you know, when I was interviewing Barack Obama in the White House in the Oval Office and they called last question, I asked another question after that.
There you go.
So I got a good answer. I will say I got a good answer too. But then I got reprimanded after leaving the Oval Office. I was like, it's done. Anyway, but no, this will be the last one. I just do wonder if you could get in Joe Biden's ear or maybe Kamala Harris's ear. Mm-hmm. I mean, just that team Biden's ear and say, here's the one thing I would love for you to do. What would it be? Is it an event? Is it just adopting a certain phrase? I mean, you know, so this is kind of a tough one, but.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that I think they don't get enough credit for what they are doing. You know, one thing that I mean, they don't get enough credit for their record for sure, right? But one thing I want to just shout out, because it's what I've spent a lot of my career doing. I think their rapid response, the stuff they're doing on social media, I think getting all that content out there I think they're doing a fantastic job of that. I'm glad they're doing it. I think we're going to see governing is hard. It's always more fun to write. Like, I always love working for the challengers because they don't have to deal with governing, right? And so, you know, they're going to have to deal with the governing of it all. I'm excited to see what happens in the State of the Union, you know, and how that goes. But truthfully, they are really utilizing the vice president and her many like skills and her, you know, and her appeal. They're putting her in the right places with the right voters. And I hope they continue to do that, because it's not just about, you know, making sure that this reporter from this outlet, you know, gets to interview them. It's about like her doing the interview with Kiki Palmer, right? Like, it's things like that, because we have to recognize not everyone consumes news in the same way. And so I will say I applaud them for what they're doing on that front. And I hope they keep it up. I suspect they will. I mean, the one thing I would tell them is North Carolina is real. Keep coming here. We can win this state. Biden didn't lose it by that much last time. And we've got a great party chair.
It's Ahab's great. We do love her party chair.
She's terrific.
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic. Great. Yeah.
That would be quite the cherry on top to win North Carolina for sure.
Oh, yeah. Man, yep. Buys us some room. That buys That's us right. room.
Let's do that. Let's win Florida Senate race. Let's kick out Ted Cruz in Texas, and I think we'd
there you go.
If those things happen,
Biden gets reelection. Oh, so it's sure. just yeah. like you know, it's yes. like yes. if we win North Carolina,
there you go.
You know, yes. Rick Scott takes a hike, and so does what's his name? I hate that guy in Texas. Then Ted Cruz. Then we don't have to worry about Biden because he's definitely back in the White House.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Christina Reynolds is VP of communications. She is the head.
Sorry.
She's the top dog of communications at Emily Flynn.
Perfect.
The apex predator.
Adding that on my business card. There you go.
At Emily's List, which works to elect women, pro-choice women all across the country. Seriously, one of the most important organizations in the progressive ecosystem. Always love talking to you, Christina. Always love what Emily's List does. You're one of my favorites. So thank you so much for coming.
Love talking to you all.
Love and appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Carrie, that is our show. Thanks for helping drive that conversation. I think it's an important one. And what really strikes me is this whole idea that we really do need to communicate to people the connection between Dobbs, Roe, abortion, IVF, family planning, life-saving healthcare, all those things are interconnected. And the more people realize this, I think that the different that polls are going to look like. I'm not too worried about the polls right now. I'll start worrying about them in August.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of our big challenges moving forward. So thanks to Walter for producing the show, everybody who helps behind the scenes, Perry and Paul. And thank you, the viewer, listener, reader, for being part of this movement to save our country from the MAGA threat. So glad to have you guys aboard and in this fight together. Catch you all next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.